are appointed for the celebration of all saints. The first lesson is written in the 7th chapter of Revelation. The white-robed multitude of saints worship before the throne of God. St. John writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord." The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 3. The purified saints are God's beloved children. Again, St. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus blesses his saints as they come to him. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And in place of the creed, we have a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's small catechism, the final two petitions, and the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? "And lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, We pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition? But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. How does the Lord's Prayer conclude? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does the word amen mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My text for this morning is, even as we're going to be talking about the gospel lesson, what Jesus shared is truly blessed in this world. Hear these words again from Revelation chapter 7. For the Lamb in the midst of them will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Dear friends, in this day and age, it would seem that one of the lessons we learn is that anything worth having is worth insuring. And you look at what's going on in our lives, and for a lot of the most valuable things, we do indeed have insurance. If we own a house or if we rent, we've got the appropriate kind of insurance somehow. And if, by the way, we've got some genuine valuables, we probably even have special riders for them. We have insurance on our car, and obviously we need it not just to, because it's a valued possession, but also to make sure that problems of liability are going to be taken care of. There was this organization that was around for many, many years, for Lloyd's of London, where if you had something super, super valuable and you couldn't find anybody to insure it, they, for quite a price, I might add, would be willing to insure it right down to a major league pitcher or an NFL quarterback's arm to make sure that it gets through whatever it is that it gets through. And you never know the kinds of things that it would be good to have insurance on. For example, when a couple of these, if you were at our outdoor festival last week, a couple of these went flying, and I'm like, my first thought was, boy, I hope we got insurance on these, but it looks like they survived. The wind just grabbed them and just sent them onward. But they survived it just fine. But there is something about insurance that says that it is only to be used when tragedy takes place. It sits there and does essentially nothing until tragedy strikes. But the insurance that we need to have in this world, and there are some that would say, well, that means that if I'm never going to have tragedy strike me, I don't have to have insurance on those things. There is one kind of insurance that perhaps more than any other you see nowadays, and it's unfortunate what's happening to that. And that's what we call life insurance. It comes in many different forms, and I don't know, maybe you've seen just some of the commercials that are out there so that they can try to get your attention. People playing triangle solos in the midst of an orchestra concert, and on and on. But let's make one thing perfectly clear. I'm not here to try to push upon you an earthly life insurance. I am here to remind you that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we do indeed have the most important life insurance of all. Let's make no question. In every way possible, this insurance is real. Just as real as the kind that you buy for this world. A few minutes ago, I said that the insurance only kicks in times of tragedy. Well, the worst personal tragedy for each one of us is when the body can no longer continue to function. And indeed, we spent, from an earthly perspective, way too much time this morning having to remember people whose life functions have ceased in the last year. But in the midst of that, it is to provide something. Now, that provision does come at a cost. Sometimes if you're young in this world, you can get life insurance really cheap. But let's be clear. The only life insurance that really matters came at a huge cost. Not with gold or silver, but with our Savior's holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. That has given each of you a policy that has been signed and sealed in the waters of holy baptism. That is what says to us that as we live our lives in the faith, we live for the Son of God, who one day will take us to his own. And what a time to completely turn upside down what the world sees. You know, when Jesus gave the disciples the Beatitudes, he had to impress upon them that, look, I know what you see out there. I know what people think is important. I know what people think. If you see somebody that's got money, if you see somebody that's got, the list goes on and on. Those people, not only are they important, but they are truly blessed. And I guess the converse of that is, if you don't have that stuff, you must not have been blessed. Well, Jesus makes it clear. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the second one that he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, regardless of whether it was one of the people that was on this morning's list or someone else that we've lost in the not-too-distant past, that our memory of them just keeps coming back again and again and again. And we may know, we may have the certainty that they are in heaven with their Lord and Savior, and yet still, the thought of it brings a tear to our eye. And I guess it reminds us that the Lord has put each one of us in this world to be a blessing. And if indeed someone has been a blessing, then that blessing is worth a few tears. And I dare say that as we have gone through the list this morning, and the face of the person and the life of the person who had lived it, as I remembered, almost all of them came back. And this was somebody very, very real. At some point, it may look like just a name on a list, but like you, those people were special to us. And it does hurt to lose them. But in Christ, the tears of mourning will find comfort. I read a little earlier, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. This world is filled with sadness. This world is always a moment away from tragedy. This world, time and time again, takes us from a reality that we live in from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and turns it upside down in a heartbeat. I know for a fact that There have been times in the middle of worship just like this. There are people that, for whatever reason, their phone was next to them, and while it was on silent, they noticed that something was coming on. They knew it was important. What they didn't know was their life was about to be changed forever. Having to see death like that, having to see the trouble of life, should tell everyone that no one should ever be without the life insurance offered to us by Jesus Christ. But they are. Just as it doesn't make any sense to those of us that, you know, see just how many times when we're driving any old place, to grocery store, to church or wherever, it seems like we're constantly driving past an accident. And there are so many of them, it doesn't make sense to us that people would not have insurance. And yet, in too many cases, especially when it's you that ends up getting hit, you find out that however many people don't have insurance, you manage to find one of them. And it has you scratching your head. We scratch our heads as well, with the knowledge that that which has been bought and paid for, that which, because of the Lord who places his Holy Spirit into us, make sure that we remain faithful into death that we may receive a crown of life, the policy does not lapse. And yes, it doesn't even matter what the risk factors are. It doesn't matter what our lives have been through. Christ paid the price for you. And Christ paid the price for a lot of people who have not even heard of him. Friends, we live in this world for such a short time. And during that time, we find ourselves in so many conundrums. It seems that we are constantly hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We are constantly trying to be about the only ones truly trying to be peacemakers amongst a world that keeps looking for excuses for people to hate each other. We're the ones that are trying, even in the midst of sin that constantly attacks and assails us, as Martin Luther said earlier, who are trying to be pure in heart, who are trying to show mercy. And yet, what is our earthly reward? Our earthly reward is sometimes to be ignored, sometimes to be made fun of, sometimes to be downright persecuted, poked at, people laughing, saying, who in the world would do such things, would waste their time going to places like church? Clearly, that's for weak people. Okay, I'll plead guilty to that. Guilty as charged. But one thing is for sure. The tragedy of death is going to be something that is going to overtake all of us. For some, the world may decide that it happens way, way, way too soon. For others, as life has begun to literally tarry, and people are unable to do much of anything for themselves, and they find themselves almost asking, Lord, when are you going to take me home? It comes almost as relief, but it will come upon everybody. And the only promise that we have is that if we are faithful unto death, we get the crown of life. But what a crown that is going to be! To know that for every one of God's people who lived in the faith and now have been granted everlasting life through our Savior, that they are in heaven. That while it may be difficult to have to come to grips that there won't be any more memories for any of us with them, at least not here, that on the day of the new heavens and the new earth, we will get to see them again. Heaven is all about the tears being wiped away from our faces. But it is all about, let's use these words, cashing in on a life insurance policy. A policy in which Jesus is going to be giving us eternal riches in heaven, and is going to make us one with him, where we will eat at table with him, preparing ourselves for an even new and better meal than the one that we are about to partake of. That he's preparing us for a life unburdened by all of the things that have burdened us now. You know, if I were a life insurance salesman, I'd be saying something like, isn't that worth the little bit of money that it's going to cost you? But as I said, the price has already been paid. For those without the policy, I could look at them and say, what are you waiting for? For those who do, we see a world where too many people don't. And I guess we need to ask the same question. What are we waiting for? If we could, commercials love to put out that you can save X percent on certain kinds of insurance by going with a certain brand. We can tell people that we have a policy that is totally free of charge that will give them more than anything this world could ever offer. That's our lives, my friends. That's our challenge. Because even if there were 17 people from this past year that will no longer be a part of our fellowship, and probably more in the year to come, even if our lives, perhaps totally unknown at this moment, are going to have to face the sorrow and the tears of somebody that's going to be tragically taken from us, we're ready. We have the best insurance policy of them all. One that is for you, and one that has been taken care of so that you can go to heaven without cost, with the cost paid by our Savior on the cross. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our offerings. And again, if you have not filled out those faith fellowship cards, fill them out. The ushers will be collecting them at the conclusion of the offering. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God and Father in wisdom, you have created each one of us. You have given us the gift of life, the wonder of all that allows our bodies to function, our moral and spiritual capacities, the marvelous gifts of intelligence and reason. But you have also created us with faith. We thank and praise you for that gift by which we know you and Christ Jesus, whom you have sent. We praise you also for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has brought us to faith in Jesus Christ in the waters of holy baptism, that we may love and praise you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For pouring out your Spirit on us anew each day, that we may live for you until that time when you call us home. For wiping away the tear from every eye of those who have lost loved ones, especially from our midst in this past year, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For keeping your church and all the saints in the true fellowship of the gospel, that it may stand firm in the faith given to your people once and for all. For protection against all enemies, that the people may serve you freely. For being able to remember those of your children who have faced any kind of difficulty in the faith, and upholding them by your Spirit, that they may witness to your saving power. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For filling the leaders of all nations with your light, that the darkness of sin and spiritual ignorance may be dispelled, and for leading people everywhere to enjoy what is truly the beatitudes of this world that you give to us, that we may enjoy peace and happiness as we learn to love and follow you, and that the schemes of the wicked are frustrated, and that the efforts of the godly are furthered. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For watching over those whose earthly sojourn is filled with sickness, sadness, trouble, loneliness, the consequence of sin, the sorrow of helplessness or hopelessness, for standing by these people in all of their sufferings and helping them in all of their burdens. We ask your special blessings this morning on behalf of Matt Graves, Larry Zimdahl, Jerry Brock, the family of Nicholas Baldwin. And now we lift up before you someone in our own lives that faces those same things that we name before you in a moment of silence. Help us in all times of need to look to you for pardon, peace, and healing. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Having revealed your glory in the face of your only begotten Son, who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, and exalting Christ to the highest majesty at his right hand that he might graciously fill all things, and for granting us faithfully to eat and drink this holy supper, trusting our reigning Savior Jesus, who the one seen in his glory is here present to save us by his body and blood, we lift up our hearts to you, O Lord. And for these and all other things that we may need, give us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Friends, our service concludes at the bottom of page 8 with the closing prayer and benediction. Please stand as we pray together. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, as we walk through the valley of tears, lift up our eyes to our Redeemer, that we may anticipate with great joy the day of his coming, when he shall wipe away all our tears and swallow up death in his eternal victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts, into your homes. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the first day after daylight savings time. Gets dark early tonight, but God's blessings be with all of you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.